Welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today. Our show is Geoengineering, the Chemical Poisoning of Our Skies. You may or may not have noticed, but if you look up in the sky on just about any day of the week, you'll see crisscrossing streaks of white clouds behind jet aircraft stretching for miles. Eventually, these streaks get bigger and bigger, and just a few hours later, a nice sunny day becomes dark and cloudy. When you think about it, if it were just fumes from a jet airliner, these streaks would fade away in a matter of minutes, but they don't. Who is doing this, and why are they doing this to us? A closer look at this issue reveals a systematic global agenda to geoengineer our planet and control weather patterns. Today, we'll look at the devastating consequences of this global plan to control the weather and our life. But before we get there, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. So now, our special guest for today is Michael Murphy. I'd like to introduce you to him right now. Michael, welcome to our show.
Jonathan, thank you for having me on, and thanks a lot for covering this issue. Those of us who have been following it and researching it have found it to be probably the most important issue that we've had to face on the history of the planet. So that's a pretty strong word, but I hope after the show, many people will be motivated to address it and get active. So thank you.
You bet, Michael. I think probably for starters, especially for those people who just listened to that introduction, like what is going on here, let's talk about defining geoengineering. What exactly is it? And talk to us for a couple minutes about why you got so involved in this issue.
Sure. Geoengineering is defined as the artificial modification, large-scale modification of the Earth's climate. So a bunch of scientists, corporations, as well as governments have this plan, which they've already implemented, and it's to modify the climate. So the excuse that scientists are using for the disbursement of aerosols and chemicals into our sky is for the mitigation of global warming. So the idea is by airplanes and other means, putting up aluminum oxide, barium, other chemicals into our sky to shroud the Earth and create a shield from the sun. So the idea is put a reflective material into our sky, which will reflect sunlight back into space and thus cool the planet. We have found a number of studies that indicate that putting aerosols into our sky will temporarily, regionally, cool certain areas, and you'll notice when you start seeing the planes fly back and forth, releasing the chemicals out of the back, it creates a cloud cover. The temperature will drop, about 6-7 degrees. However, at night, those clouds act as a blanket. They trap heat. So we've seen nighttime highs go up considerably since the full-scale deployment of these programs. So very concerning to those of us who have looked at the ecological, human health implications, which there are many. But even more concerning in terms of what it does to our weather patterns and how it impacts crops and how it impacts even political, socio-economic areas throughout the world. So it's a very important issue.
Michael, millions of people have seen the films that you have created. What in the world are they spraying and why in the world are they spraying? I mean, it's a massive amount of people being introduced to this, but can you just talk for a moment about why you got so involved in this issue? What got you started?
You know, it was interesting because I lived in Arizona for a number of years. I went to college there and stayed afterwards, and I moved from Chicago. So the skies, when I moved, were a deep blue. Very rarely did we even have a cloud or a blemish in the sky. I noticed that, you know, in the late 90s, or right after, you know, the year of 2000, about 4 to 5 of the days started turning cloudy. So I knew something was going on. I wasn't sure what it was. Somebody had pointed out an airplane in a trail behind an airplane, and they said, watch that airplane. That trail will turn into the high clouds that you're seeing. And I was a little skeptical at first, but again, curious enough to look into this. So I started researching it on the internet. Now, not everything is credible on the internet, but what really brought me to recognizing that there was a major problem was when I went to a geoengineering conference, and that was in 2010. We included that, some of the clips, in both what and why in the world are they spraying? And, you know, during that meeting, we heard geoengineers talk about spraying 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum and other particles into our sky again for the stated goal of mitigating global warming. However, during that time, I met other activists and other scientists who have been finding this, what people call the chemtrail geoengineering footprint of aluminum, barium, and strontium. They've been finding these levels in rain tests. Rain tests are a very good indicator of atmospheric contamination. So they've been finding very high levels, and as a result, we've had ecosystem collapses, forests are dying, natural organic foods are not growing the way that they used to. We've seen a very incredible decline. And also aluminum-related illnesses and barium-related illnesses are literally going through the roof. So this is definitely contaminating all of the air that we breathe, all of our rain, all of our soils, but also us as human beings. Every breath that we take is filled with these fine metal particulates. So it was interesting because every consequence that geoengineers spoke about, if they started these programs, they denied that they had started them, but they said if we start these programs, we'll have offset weather patterns, droughts in some areas, floods in other areas. We will have jet stream manipulation. We will have fungal overgrowth. We will have ecosystem decline. We will have up to 2.5 billion people will have a reduction in food supply. And also our ozone layer will be depleted. Well, we're seeing all of these consequences. So I knew that something was dramatically wrong, and I was able to get all of these scientists talking about this on video, but then the tests and the implications, and then experts around the world who were freely able to talk about this. As a result, we produced two films, What in the World Are They Spraying and Why in the World Are They Spraying? Why in the World Are They Spraying? Won, I believe, 14 or 15 awards. It's really been seen around the world. It's been said to have really been a catalyst for starting a worldwide movement to stop these programs, which unfortunately geoengineers are moving very quickly to establish legislation to make these illegal programs legal, and they're basing it on this idea that CO2 is creating global warming. But I'd like to get into that hopefully a little bit later in the interview so we can really look at some of this evidence a little bit closer and recognize that geoengineering is responsible for most, if not all, of the climate change and the offset weather patterns that we're seeing.
Yeah, Michael, I mean, a lot of people listening to this for the first time, it's just hard to believe, right? Obviously, you can understand that. A lot of people would never, if they were put into the position of environmental controls or something, they wouldn't order for this kind of stuff to be sprayed all over their families and their relatives. We get that. That's probably why most people don't believe that this is going on. But in your films, you actually, like you said, spoke to people, scientists who've measured things. This is not just you talking about it because you took it off the internet. You don't know what the source is. You actually went to the sources of these people who've actually tested all of this stuff. So when people are very suspicious about, are there really climate changes? Is this really causing extreme weather patterns? You know, what do you say to those people? Who are some of those people that you spoke to in your films? You know, some of that shocking information that you found out that you could just convey to someone who might be skeptical.
Right. And you know what? I think the reason why the films were so effective, because I was very skeptical as well. So we essentially followed me around, and I was asking the questions, being very skeptical. And by the end of the film, I was not only convinced, but had dedicated my life to this. So, you know, in terms of the rain test, we interviewed scientist Francis Mangles up in Northern California. He had noticed that the ecosystems were collapsing, and the pH of the soil, typically Northern California has a very acidic soil, he noticed that the pH was changing. So as a scientist, he started wondering why, and again went to the atmospheric and the rain test. And the rain test indicated what many are calling this chemtrail geoengineering footprint of aluminum, barium, and strontium. These metals that we're finding in thousands of times the amounts that should be normal are exactly, they match exactly what geoengineers deny they're spraying but state that they urgently want to spray. And they match a number of patents. There's this patent, it's called the Hughes Aircraft patent or the Welsbach patent, and it's designed to spray exactly what we're finding in our rain tests. And, of course, what we see on a regular basis now in the sky, these airplanes leaving long trails that actually block out the sun and are definitely, without question, this is not speculation due to many studies, are definitely changing our atmosphere. That matches geoengineers' plans exactly. Now we have geoengineers admitting to regional tests. And, of course, like I said before, they're moving very quickly to establish government. And their idea is, because these programs are very powerful, they will offset the weather. And because they do that, we, of course, will have to control where the weather goes. So if a country, you know, signs on to us and subscribes to this, we will give them benefits. They didn't say what those benefits are, but I think those benefits are rain. And I think certain countries could get droughts. Now we see there are a number of corporations and people that profit from the ability to control the weather. If you control the weather, which, again, these programs, no arguments about this, scientists are very clear, that it does enable them to control the weather. You can control the planet, every food supply, and every political system. So, again, there's this enormous amount of, quote-unquote, David Keith, geoengineer, said geoengineering gives man godlike power. These programs enable them to do that. So based on that, they're stating, if we didn't establish, quote-unquote, global governance, which, again, would enable these scientists and other, well, international bankers to consolidate an enormous amount of power into the hands of a few at the expense of many. And again, it's stated if a rogue state would have this technology, and if we didn't consolidate this power, we could have wars, you know, over whose hand would be on the thermostat. Now, based on my understanding of the universe and understanding of nature and God as well, I'm very clear. I don't think any human being should have their hand on the climate systems in the world. This is something that nature should be in charge of. But again, when the natural systems are working naturally, there's not the ability to consolidate the amount of power that they're looking to do. And it fits right in, again, with the agendas that they've been working tirelessly at for, God, I think a couple of centuries. And again, that goes into global governance, consolidating power into the hands of the few.
And it's clearly affecting, you know, when we talk about ecosystems, you know, it seems like such a vague term. This is clearly affecting individuals' abilities to grow food. You've got small organic farmers out there, like you say, people who respect the way nature works and wanting to grow the best, healthiest food possible. This is affecting soils. It's affecting waters. This is really dramatically changing the way we're going to be able to feed ourselves in the future. Isn't that true, especially with all these toxins that are being sprayed into the sky?
It's actually happening now, and I live on Maui a certain times of the year, and I live on an organic farm, and in the past 10 years, we've seen a 50% decline in our ability to get our yields. Another farmer in that region had about a 70% decline. Now, we spoke with Barb Peterson, and she runs a website called Farm Wars, and she enlightened us to a new genetically modified seed, and it's a seed that is patented by Monsanto, and it addresses the issue called abiotic stress. And when I first heard about it, I wasn't sure what it was, so I said, what is abiotic stress? And she said, well, it's really everything that the chemtrails create. It's drought conditions, it's too much moisture, it's fungal overgrowth, heavy metal contamination, anything that really stresses the soil. There's no question that geoengineering, that chemtrails affect our soils in those ways. And as a result, this new seed will grow in this new environment. So, Jonathan, it looks to me like this is an agenda to literally strip us of our ability to grow natural organic foods. And as a result, when we have the die-off, which we're seeing, then Monsanto comes in. It's the Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. They come in with the solution and said, look, we're here to save the day. And, of course, that many of these seeds are Terminator seeds, which I'm sure your audience is very familiar with. And what it does is it completely strips our ability to live off of nature like our ancestors did. They were dependent on natural rain, natural sunshine, and natural seeds. And now, being that the weather is controlled, and after you watch why in the world are they spraying, you should have no doubt, 99% of the people that I've seen have no doubt that weather control is happening on a regular basis. What they have the ability to do is impact and create droughts in a regional capacity. So I know earlier last year, the Obama administration had spoken about bringing genetically modified seeds into Africa. And if we look a little bit closer about the agenda here, we know that Monsanto and other GMO seeds want to control the entire food market. Well, how do you do that? Let's say if Africa is experiencing normal rain. They're not having drought conditions. They have incredible seeds and sunshine. Well, they're able to grow independently from this corporate seed system. However, if you control the weather and you want to put your seeds into that region, what you do is create a drought. And that drought creates starvation. It destabilizes the political system in that country, and it destabilizes the farmer's ability to, again, grow natural organic food. So when people start dying, when it puts them in a very precarious position, that's when we see Monsanto coming in with the solution to the problem. So it's a very evil agenda, and it utilizes hunger, starvation, and a lot of agendas that are not in the best interest of human beings in order to gain that market share or control over the food supply. And that's what we see happening. And Jonathan, it breaks my heart because, God, about a year and a half ago, I started researching the starvation rates due to our drought. And in Africa alone, we have 1,000 children dying every hour. So that's 24,000 children dying a very painful death of starvation. There's no question about it, based on my research and the research of Scott Stevens, who is an award-winning television weatherman who was on Why in the World Are They Spraying, that these programs are creating droughts in that area. So it's very sad, but I think it ties into a depopulation agenda as well. So we know some of the people who appear to be behind this, you know, heading up like Henry Kissinger and some of the Rockefellers, and then also the Rothschild family. They've spoken a lot about depopulation, even Bill Gates. Bill Gates is an investor in both geoengineering and an investor in Monsanto seeds, and he's spoken about reducing the Earth's population. So it's very concerning to those of us who really see the big picture in terms of what's going on. And again, these programs really give these people who are talking about this evil agenda the ability to move forward and progress like no other technologies have in the history of our planet.
We're going to talk a little bit more about why they're really doing this, some other aspects to this that a lot of people never hear about, which of course then leads them never to consider it. But we're going to talk about it right now. Before we get there, I'd like to just thank our sponsor one more time, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Michael, we were talking a lot now just before the break about why they're doing this. It's a global agenda. Clearly, anywhere you go in the world, people are reporting similar experiences. They're looking up above their head in the skies. They see these airplanes spitting out all these chemicals. And all of a sudden, a nice sunny day, as I said before, turns into a really artificial cloudy day. It's almost like, I don't even want to say it's cloudy, because it sure as heck doesn't look like clouds. At the end of the day, when these white streaks have expanded across the sky, it's like a very dark gray dome. I mean, it's not like when I was a kid and we saw clouds. Those were like real clouds. This is something really sick looking. So let's talk a little bit more about these geopolitical interests in the Arctic in particular, and talk about some of the reasons why they might really be hungry, pardon the pun, to do something like this and control the weather.
Why in the world? Now, there are a number of things that can be achieved by putting aerosols, by putting chemicals into the sky. Weather control is one of them, and it's the most obvious. And that's why in the world are they spraying? We covered, I guess, that layer of the onion. But I just released an article, Geoengineering and the Deliberate Melting of the Arctic. And it looks at some of the geopolitical implications in that area. And again, if we look back to weather control gives man godlike power. You can control every political system, every food supply, and thus establish global government. But if we look back into the 1970s, there was this climate scientist who was an advisor to every president from Nixon to Obama. He died apparently in a pretty mysterious death, like a number of scientists that we've seen as of late dealing with these touchy subjects. But in the 1970s, he was sounding an alarm stating that we're entering into this ice age. And he said, wow, you know, it's going to be a threat to our national security. And in order to prevent this ice age, we have to look at ways to melt the ice in the Arctic. So we proposed a couple of things, which there is plenty of evidence that shows, even though they deny that they've deployed these strategies to melt the ice, there's no question they had the intent and they had the motive. So if we look at it, one of the things was putting, getting into geoengineering. Right now we have a polar vortex off of California. That polar vortex, what it's doing, it's pushing the jet stream up north. And I know there's a lot of debate whether the ice is coming back or not, and I'm not sure if it is. However, there's no question that they have had the intent to melt it in the past. So the polar vortex is pushing the jet stream up into the Arctic. What it's doing is creating high pressure over California, warmer than normal temperatures, but also drought-like conditions. A couple of reasons for that. Drought conditions in California, a couple of companies very interested in privatizing our water supply. Bechtel owns 82% of the world's privatized water. So when you have drought conditions, that's when governments go in with public-private partnerships with corporations and they privatize. They have an excuse when there's a shortage of water and the idea is, hey, we must control this. Now that the water is short. So I think it has to do with that, probably other things. But again, that warm weather is going up into the Arctic. It's rebounding back. So that's why the Midwest has had very cold temperatures and a lot of moisture. So the Midwest has been getting the moisture that California should be getting. And I believe that intent, and we'll get to the reasons why in a second, is to create a warmer condition in the Arctic because it does appear that some of that ice is coming back, and we'll get to the reasons why. But also, the Schneider guy proposed detonating nuclear bombs. Of course, when you detonate nuclear bombs, it creates heat, and that heat creates ice melt. I did some research. I found out there were over 121 nuclear bombs detonated since 1970 in the Arctic region. Of course, again, that's going to create ice melt. One of the most damning things that I saw was the proposal to spray black soot. And the idea was putting a black cover on the ice. And as a result, the ice will absorb more sunlight and thus melt. In the article, I sourced pictures. You look at the Arctic, man, it looks like it was blacktopped for hundreds of miles. No question. Now, of course, the official story is that that's from China, you know, and people, you know, running their automobiles and other ideas. But again, that has not been, that's what scientists are sourcing as the reason for all of that black soot on the ice. However, it's a theory. I never saw any definitive scientific paper that researched to show how we would have such a thick coating. And then the other thing which he proposed was putting chlorine up into the atmosphere. Chlorine will interact with the ozone and deplete the ozone. Very much proof that that has been done. We have a huge ozone hole over the Arctic, and the idea is to thin out our protective layer so the sun will be stronger. Now a number of people notice that our sun appears to be a lot stronger. People are burning much easier in the sun, and I believe that's because there's been a deliberate attempt to melt the ice in that area. Why would they want to melt it? Well, let's, first of all, look what happened. 10 years later, back in the 80s, after it appears they started melting the ice, Schneider, who is on the IPCC, quickly turned around and said, oh my God, the Arctic ice is melting. We have global warming. We have to do something about global warming. CO2 is creating global warming. So let's see, we have to form cap and trade. And of course, because of global warming, we have to initiate geoengineering programs. That looks like it's the next incremental step to supposedly address this problem. And of course, cap and trade. This is a potential multi-trillion dollar industry. And again, the global warming issue, which is being largely based on the fact that the Arctic has melted, that's what they're sourcing as proof, falls right in line with their agenda to create global governance. And many people are unaware of what's happening geopolitically, but also politically. There are over 500 new climate laws scheduled to go into effect this year. These are UN climate laws, and what they want to do is impose these laws on local municipalities. And what that will do is strip away our sovereignty. I looked at some of these laws. They look pretty good. They're about cutting down pollution, and they're things that most people would accept. But what happens when the UN gets their tentacles into local municipalities? They strip the sovereignty and the ability for these local municipalities to regulate themselves. And then, boom, what comes in? Comes in the cap and trade, these very oppressive laws that take away our freedoms and transfer all of this wealth. I mean, we're talking about billions, but over years, several trillion dollars transfer of wealth. Al Gore just proposed the other week about getting $90 trillion to redesign all major cities. Why does he want to do that? He wants to remove our right to drive an automobile so that everybody, except for the ultra-rich, will have to take public transportation. We are looking at an agenda, again, to create global governance. We are looking at our rights being taken away, and we are looking at depopulation if we allow these to continue on. And let me tell you something, CO2, global warming, is, without question, the biggest fraud, and I'll tell you why. Based on what we are aware of geoengineering programs and how they impact our weather and how they offset our temperatures, there is no way that anyone can get an accurate temperature reading, and there is no way they can determine whether the planet is warming or cooling. And if any geoengineering activist, and I feel very strongly about this, is telling you CO2 is causing global warming and they can get an accurate temperature reading, they are based on fraud. It is completely fraudulent. And what it has done, Jonathan, because this has entered into the chemtrail movement, it has kept people out of addressing this fraudulent act. And I think the agenda is to pull people away from addressing the global warming fraud so that these laws can be passed. And once they're passed, it will be next to impossible to get back our sovereignty. So I think it's a real essential time, and I think it's time that we gain some wisdom. And again, I don't know if the planet's warming or cooling, but I do know global warming based on CO2 is the biggest fraud, just based on the fact that geoengineering is happening on a daily basis.
Okay, Michael, we're going to end the program by talking about some of the things that we can do. Obviously, this is a huge topic, and this small program here can't cover everything. If people want to learn more about it, they could check out Michael Murphy's films, What in the World Are They Spraying and Why in the World Are They Spraying. We'll have links on naturalhealth365.com. All you have to do is click the podcast link, and you'll find the link for this show. And then on that page will be all the links to Michael's website, What in the World Are They Spraying? And you'll also have links for the films as well. But before we get to some of those solutions, I want to thank our sponsor one more time, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. So, Michael, we've covered a lot of things. You've certainly talked about a huge agenda here, how it's impacting us on an individual level, our ability to enjoy natural weather conditions, whatever they may be, to be able to grow food. You've also talked just recently now about how this really could impact our freedoms, our abilities to do things, because, of course, they might be positioning all of this as something that people are doing to the planet, and now people's behaviors have to be controlled and modified, and laws have to be passed, on and on and on. This is quite a serious issue. Let's talk about, in your eyes, you know, you've been doing a lot of research. What is it that you would have a lot of people who are listening to this program right now, what can they do to stop this insanity?
Well, you know, a lot of people say this is a pretty heavy issue, but I like to look at it as an incredible opportunity, because we've had these programs and we've had this agenda to create global governance. Really, it's been maturing for, you know, probably over a century. And I think we are the generation that has an incredible opportunity to turn this boat around. And this issue, because each and every person is affected by it, we have a common issue to unite us as humanity. And this issue is this. And I spoke a little bit about how the movement had been co-opted by keeping people outside of talking about global warming and the fraudulent activists. I believe that we are the movement that has the ability to move forward and sound the alarm. So right now, this year, we have climate laws. We have climate meetings around the world and in France in December. It looks like what they're going to try to do is create a treaty with a number of countries. And our job, I believe, is to waken people up. And we're very close to critical mass. There was a survey about a year and a half ago that was taken, and it showed that we're about 8 to 8.5% global awareness of geoengineering programs. And once you hit critical mass, that number is 10%. It becomes highly likely that all of society or most of society will take the issue and believe it to be true. So the dynamics are going to change very quickly. However, I want to stress how quick and how short time is. Both Why in the World and What in the World Are They Spraying have been excellent tools. We encourage everybody who orders a copy to make copies and hand out for free. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com. But also host screenings locally. You can rent out libraries. Get the word out. We also have the films available on YouTube, so please make copies of those links. Get it out to your YouTube page. Get it out to Facebook. But we need some attorneys to get on board with this and address it legislatively. In Maui, we are moving forward with the Maui Clean Sky Ordinance. We did a series of campaigns, three campaigns, handing out free DVDs, and a lot of screenings on the island. In about 8 months' time, we obtained critical mass. So once you have public support, there's a good chance that you get political support because the politicians will listen when an issue comes hot in the area. So the idea is really to get this issue out front, go into town hall meetings, you know, I encourage people to look inside, figure out what your gifts are, and move forward with those gifts. One thing's for sure, because the corporate mainstream media profits from these programs. It's owned by, as we know, six families who all have a vested interest in this global governance. And these programs, again, is a major catalyst to bring this political agenda about. So we cannot depend on the corporate mainstream media. We have to be the mainstream media. And with that being said, we have to sound the airwaves, and we have to utilize whatever sphere of influence we have to get the message out about this. And again, we have an excellent opportunity, but the window is closing. 2015 is the year that we have to blow the doors off of this.
Michael, really important topic. I want to thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, Jonathan, thank you so much for covering this, and thanks for all that you're doing over there. Really appreciate you keeping the world healthy. Thank you.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.